Sport New Zealand has today decided that transgender athletes should be able to participate in community sport in the gender that they identify with. They've released new guiding principles saying that athletes should not need to prove or justify belonging to a particular gender at the grassroots level. Raylene Castle is Sport New Zealand's CEO and she's with us now. Afternoon, Raylene.
Afternoon, Heather.
Thank you for joining us. Okay, are you worried at all about the extra power that transgender women will have?
Yeah, I think, Heather, the important thing here is that the guidelines are designed to ensure that everyone can be included, and our aspiration is that all young people have an opportunity to participate in sport regardless of their background or, in this case, gender, how they identify with their gender. So there are a set of guidelines that will help sports look at their particular environments and consider how they can make more inclusive for athletes, but also consider how their volunteers and their sports themselves would be able to be responsible in engaging with a transgender athlete that arrived into their sport.
Right, that's cool. That is cool. And Raylene, we're all on board with inclusivity, right? Nobody wants to cut other people out. But I'm going to ask my question again. Are you worried that cisgender women might get hurt in this?
The reality is that each sport needs to take its own, make its own decision. So if you think about the reality of the difference between bowls and rugby, for example, there's some differences in that, right? So the bowling people are going to make different decisions about inclusivity for transgender as rugby is and rugby has. So that's the helpful guidelines, is so that they can think about the base principles, and ultimately they are going to have to put safety at the front of that conversation and make the decisions for themselves.
Do you worry at all about, look, I don't even know if this is covered. Is there such a thing as amateur boxing that falls under the remit of Sport NZ?
Well, there is. I mean, I think boxing takes a number of forms, doesn't it? I mean, one, it's exercise, and so people are doing it in gyms with bags,
right,
and, you know, that sort of environment. And then, yes, there is amateur boxing. Boxing have been quite vocal that they think that they need to take a slightly different approach from a safety perspective.
Which is, let's be clear, to keep transgender women out of competing against cisgender women, right?
Well, it's never that black and white, Heather. I think that's the point, is if you're competing in a competition and if you've got a significant size difference and a different weight difference and strength difference, then yes, that would be a sensible approach to make sure safety is important. If you've got a genuine learn to box class and everyone's boxing on pads and together and there's not much risk involved, then you would take a different approach. That's the point of the guidelines, is it's not one size fits all. Every situation might have a nuance, and that sport needs to think about that nuance when they make their decisions.
So, Raylene, are you worried at all? Because by establishing these guidelines, you guys have picked a side in this debate, right? And are you worried at all that there might be some codes who probably should lean towards the way boxing is and you know, separate out transgender women from cisgender women, who will now feel obliged to put them all together because you've issued these guidelines?
Yeah, I genuinely don't think we've picked a side, Heather. I think that's the point of the guideline.
But Raylene, come on, of course you have.
No, what we've got is a situation where it is what it is. We have women that participate in sport and we have transgender people that also want to participate. We have to make, what we've tried to do with the guidelines after deep and wide consultation is a start point conversation so the sport can say what is sensible for how they apply the inclusion opportunity for our transgender community.
Raylene, I'm sorry, can I just stop you here? Let's just clarify this, right? Because this is important. There are two different, this is binary, right? It's either transgender people participate with women or they do not. And you have chosen that they do, right?
No, the guidelines.
Come on.
If you read the guidelines, I think either the thing is, so if I can clarify two things.
Yeah.
People assume that this is about winning and losing, and this is about competing against other women. The reality is, for most transgender people, they just want to be included in community sport where they can play and feel safe. And it's not, the priority is physical exercise, playing with your mates, having fun, being included, being safe. That's what the guidelines are focused on. That is where 95% of the conversations in relation to transgender people actually go. the conversation you and I are having is about the 5% of people, and I don't know if it's exactly 5%, but we call it in that realm, where actually there is some challenging conversations to have. We need to have them. They're not going to be straightforward, and they're not black and white, but that's where the guidelines kick in for sports to look and see safety priority, how we're going to deal with it. But by far and away, we want inclusion and to be the main part of the conversation.
Okay. Raylene, if you had to pick what's more important to you, inclusion or safety?
Well, it's safety, but that's you're okay. Assuming that in table tennis there's a safety element. There's not a safety element in table tennis. There's no bowls. In most sports, there's not
a safety I understand. But in boxing and rugby, there is, right?
Which is why boxing and rugby will take the guidelines and apply them appropriately for the sport that they're looking at.
Right. Raylene, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on and talking us through that. That's Raylene Castle, Sport NZ CEO.